Coming up on Money Bites by Smart Money People.
We have over 8,000 members.
So let's take the listeners through how credit unions operate.
Savings of 3 million.
What's the role of credit unions?
They have members in mind, not external shareholders or stakeholders in that sense. And I think they pride themselves on encouraging a savings habit and also then access to credit at affordable prices and done in a responsible way.
What do hamsters dream about?
Other hamsters.
Welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People.
Hello and welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People. Coming up on today's show, we're asking, what does the future hold for credit unions?
So, what do we have on the agenda today? Well, today we'll be looking into the Money Bites crystal ball and seeing what's in store for British credit unions. We'll be talking with Robert Kelly, CEO of the Association of British Credit Unions Limited, ABCU. Then later, we'll have Anne Hickey, CEO of the East Sussex Credit Union. But first, Mike, to understand what the future holds for credit unions, we have to understand exactly the purpose they serve. So let's take the listeners through how credit unions operate and who they exist for.
Well, Nate, first established in the 1960s, there are now hundreds of credit unions in the UK, typically providing savings accounts and loans to over a million members.
At their heart, credit unions are community-focused organisations that aim to encourage members to build up savings in bite-sized chunks.
They can also provide members with loans at pretty competitive rates.
Credit unions are a type of cooperative, which means that they're owned by their members, not shareholders. Membership of a credit union is based on a common bond. This could be living or working in a specific area, like the City of Leeds, or even working for a specific industry or employer, like the NHS.
And over the last few years, a raft of new financial firms have launched. And they're almost always a lot more flashy and attention-grabbing than credit unions, which can drown out the important role credit unions still play in the lives of their members, particularly amongst the most financially excluded.
Great, so now we're accustomed with credit unions. We're ready to start hypothesising about where it is they might be going. First up, Mike spoke to Robert Kelly, CEO of ABCU. ABCU are the largest trade association for credit unions. And remember to stick around for another supreme serving of Skittlemania.
Time to fire up the hot seat as Mike welcomes another guest in to grill the big cheese.
We're delighted to have Robert Kelly, the CEO of ABCU, the Association of British Credit Unions Limited, on Money Bites this week. Robert, thank you for joining us. Can you start by telling us a bit more about ABCU? Who are you and what do you do?
Okay, yeah, thank you. So ABCU is the main trade body representing credit unions in Great Britain. So there's just under 300 credit unions in Scotland, England and Wales, the area that we cover, and we represent about 63% of those. So our main role is lobbying, representation, talking to regulators, talking to government, and pushing forward the agenda for credit unions in Great Britain.
So as you talked about credit unions, they've been around for a long time, and there's a lot of them. You talk about hundreds of them today. Some are really pretty small and largely reliant on volunteers to deliver services. And even the bigger ones with full-time teams and their own branches are still kind of relatively small. But whatever the size of credit unions and whatever their location, why do they exist when there's so many different type of financial firms out there? What's the role of credit unions?
So I think you know, you're absolutely right in terms of the level of competition that's out there in financial services. I think the distinction with credit unions is their ability to be a responsible lender. They are focused on ethical finance. They are focused on representing their owners, who are members. So the ownership structure is different. They have members in mind, not external shareholders or stakeholders in that sense. And I think they pride themselves on promoting the credit union ethos and difference around safe savings, encouraging a savings habit, and also then access to credit at affordable prices and done in a responsible way. So I think that would be the main difference. And obviously credit unions have a common bond, which is the field of membership. And that tends to be a real tie-in in terms of members feeling they are part of a community or perhaps from a workforce as well. So there's some real key differences in terms of the structure and how credit unions operate that would be a unique selling point in that sense.
And largely credit unions offer communities the ability to save in small chunks and to access loans, again, in relatively small chunks at lower rates than they would be able to access if they were going and looking at kind of the high-cost short-term credit market. But to what extent does the message about credit unions just get drowned out by the enormous marketing budgets of kind of online lenders that are much bigger?
Yeah, I think it's a real challenge for our sector in the sense of the budgets that we have in terms of marketing and comms and promoting the credit union difference. We are constantly asked at ABCO about how we can try and get that message more obvious in the marketplace and for consumers that haven't been convinced about a credit union service so far. So it is a challenge, but nonetheless, I think we are very excited about credit unions looking at transforming their technology offering and making sure their services and products are more accessible and promoting that credit union difference, and hopefully a wider demographic will be convinced that it makes sense. So whilst there's challenges in terms of getting the message out there, once people understand it and are convinced about the merits, then they tend to be very loyal customers, and that makes a real difference.
You talked about kind of technology being something that all credit unions are thinking about. How do they make their services accessible to their members or potential members? How do credit unions plan to compete on a digital front?
Yeah, so I think it's a real focus point at the moment for our sector. We are trying to support that as best we can. ABCO undertook a town hall consultation last year with our members and the wider sector and stakeholders, and we're going to launch the findings of that in next month's AGM and conference, which is effectively us producing a Vision 2025 document. And something that the sector can buy into and that the stakeholders, government, regulators can understand as what is the vision for the sector, what are the key priorities, how do we ensure that we have a transformation agenda, how do we make sure we offer services through technology in a more effective way, how do we improve those turnaround times for loan decisions. And I think it's about understanding the needs of that wider demographic, because for some people, seeing a credit union staff member face-to-face is a big deal, particularly when it comes to questions about their financial resilience and some maybe more detailed questions. People do like that human interaction. For those that just want a quick decision and they want to be able to use a credit union service a bit like how they would use their mainstream banks through apps and their smartphones, then the reality is that, we've got some great examples up and down the country of credit unions already have a digital transformation programme in place, and that's really exciting. And hopefully there'll be the ability for some of the smaller credit unions to actually collaborate and get access to those services in a more obvious way going forward. So I think there's an opportunity there for cooperation and for credit unions to collaborate. And there's some great examples up and down the country where digital transformation strategies are already in place.
And that's certainly something that we see in your sector, credit unions talking to each other and trying to help each other out. Credit unions have traditionally very tight restrictions on how they can operate. Do you think that the regulation that applies to them is fit for purpose, or does it need reviewing? Will that be part of the Vision 2025?
Yeah, so it's a very prominent part of the Vision 2025 document and plan that we are producing at the moment, and we've been lobbying very hard. What I suppose what we would say is that we believe that we have a proportionate regulatory regime. We are under the auspices of both the PRA and the FCA, which can cause some challenges at times. But but by and large, credit unions will have a very effective relationship with both regulators. And obviously from ABCO's role, we do a lot of work behind the scenes to make sure that we maintain that proportionate regime. I think from a legislative perspective, then we believe that we need a complete overhaul of the Act that is relevant to credit unions in this country. That was built in 1979. It's been tweaked and changed a couple of times in a small way, but not anything radical. So we believe, and we are lobbying hard with Treasury and other government officials to try and ensure that we can get a new Act which is more fit for purpose and which will allow credit unions to do more when it comes to products and services. We need to ensure that we can diversify our income lines. We need to make sure that we offer more products and services to a wider part of society and to improve those numbers that we already represent and provide services to. So there's some good examples in there. Credit unions are interested in how they could develop an alternative credit card proposition. A lot of credit unions would like to offer mortgages as a service. There's only a small handful that do at the moment. Some other credit unions are very keen on doing auto finance in a particular way. There's the option for more collaboration with our insurance partner as well to provide general insurance products to our membership. So there's some really good examples there of the types of products and services that we want to diversify into, which should result in a more sustainable sector and which should result in a bigger part of the population understanding the benefits of what credit unions can do.
Is that what you'd like to see credit unions do more of effectively in order to kind of continue to compete efficiently in what is an incredibly competitive market? It's about widening their proposition to make sure that actually they're able to offer more products as the member requires them. So when they need that auto finance, that there's an option there that's potentially a lower rate than they're able to access and builds that relationship so that kind of member is with them for a longer duration. Is that how you think credit unions will be able to kind of compete effectively?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's absolutely true of our legislative priorities, but also the vision for the sector, which is how do we diversify that product and service set, which I think would make the proposition and the value proposition of credit union services much more appealing to a wider demographic and a wider part of the population. You know, credit unions in North America and in other parts of the world where they can offer that much fuller service, where actually their members don't need to engage with a bank because they can get, you know, all the financial needs covered through their credit union service, then I think, you know, we want to aspire to get much closer to that, and we want to make sure that our ability to run sustainable, robust business models which have the ethics and the value base and that core ethos at the heart, I think is really important for our sector. So to give an example, in North America, in terms of lending, then the types of loans that credit unions do at the moment, you know, tend to be smaller, unsecured, but, you know, lots of credit unions do offer loan values up to $25,000, for example. But in North America, around 7% of the income that's generated from those types of loans is the equivalent to almost 96% of our income lines. So we are doing a very good job with a very narrow range of products and services at the moment. And if we can expand that and make our proposition much more appealing and have the technology transformation, digital transformation at the heart of that as well, then I think we could, you could see that credit unions will be a much more viable option for people when it comes to financial choices.
Fascinating. Finally, Robert, you talked about the credit union difference, right, and how we get that across to consumers. If you had 30 seconds to speak to our listeners directly, what would you tell them? What's that? What does the credit union difference mean to them, and why does it actually matter to them?
So to all listeners, I think that there are credit unions that can serve all parts of the country, either from a geographical perspective or from an employer perspective. So there's lots of good options out there. Credit unions are deep in their communities. They empower communities. They offer financial support and provide financial resilience to people's lives. They offer safe savings and building that savings habit. And they also offer credit where it's needed at affordable and ethical prices. Which is transparent and which, you know, is a much more viable proposition than some of the higher cost credit providers and the other providers that are out there that are probably acting in an unscrupulous way. So I think people should check out where the local credit union is and understand that might be a really safe and good financial choice.
Robert, thank you for coming in today. There's hundreds of credit unions out there and they're doing a good job day in, day out, albeit they're not always in the news as much as other providers. So thank you for coming in and talking to us a bit more about credit unions. It's now time for Skittlemania.
And now, get your chopsticks ready. It's Skittlemania.
We've put a bunch of Skittles into Cup 8 and given our guest a pair of chopsticks. Over 90 seconds, Robert will attempt to transfer as many Skittles from Cup 8 into Cup B whilst answering some of the silliest questions the Smart Money People team can muster. Let's see if Robert can seize the Skittles and chart the way to the top of the Money Bites leaderboard. Robert, are you ready?
Yes.
Your time starts now. What's your favourite spread to put on a slice of toast?
Margarine.
Very good choice. Do you have a favourite Robert from history?
Robert the Bruce.
Who was Robert the Bruce?
I should know this as a Scotsman.
A proud Scotsman.
A proud Scotsman.
Momentarily slipped.
He led a campaign. We'll say no more.
Name four American states.
California, Wisconsin, New York, Utah.
Do you have a preferred boy band?
No.
Is there life on Mars?
Yes.
Halfway through, Robert, halfway through. Is it okay to recline your seat on a plane?
No.
Do you ask for a knife and fork when given chopsticks at a Chinese restaurant?
I do.
Would you rather win an Oscar, a Nobel Prize, or the World Cup?
World Cup.
World Cup all the way. If you had a pet parrot, what would you name it?
Ellis.
Ellis the parrot. What a name. What do hamsters dream about?
Other hamsters.
What's your least favourite Skittle colour?
Yellow.
5 seconds left, Robert. How many times in your life do you think you've sneezed?
100,000.
100,000. And your time is up.
Failed miserably. None.
No Skittles for Robert from Abcourt. Well, look, Robert, thank you for coming on. Credit unions have said important area, important role that they play in the lives of hundreds of thousands of consumers. So we're happy to chat more about them and help people find out a bit more about what they do day in, day out.
So credit unions do a much better job than I do at Skittle Mania.
Next up, Nate spoke to Anne Hickey, CEO of East Sussex Credit Union. Based in Hove, East Sussex Credit Union aims to operate an ethical, sustainable and successful savings and loans cooperative. Take it away, Nate.
Anne, thanks for joining us. Can you start by telling us a bit more about East Sussex Credit Union? Who are you and what do you do?
East Sussex Credit Union help people in East Sussex, Brighton and Hove and unite members across the South East to get savings habits and to borrow at affordable rates of interest. We started in 2000 focusing on East Brighton to try and combat poverty and the use of loan sharks, and now we cover the whole of the county. We have over 8,000 members, at savings of 3 million, 2.7 million out on loan, and we can do loans up to 35,000.
And we're hearing a lot more about the credit union difference. Can you tell us a bit more about what this means for your members on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so we're a mutual model of finance. So our members can have a say at our annual general meetings, and they can also get a profit share compared to commercial finance organisations. Any profit is either ploughed back into the organisation or shared out amongst the members as a dividend. We also do a lot of activities to try and improve people's financial resilience and their budgeting skills. Got some examples of that later. We try and give affordable credit, so our interest rates are capped and we're careful about who we loan to make sure it's affordable. And we work locally with community organisations to try and improve people's inclusion in terms of money and finance.
So you mentioned there about inclusion and credit unions, they're often at the front line of tackling financial exclusion. When there's so many new financial organisations launching all the time, how big a problem is financial exclusion? And how are East Sussex Credit Union planning to tackle this?
Okay, well, first I thought sort of explain what financial exclusion is. So people with high household incomes who may own a property and have expensive goods don't have any problem getting access to good credit. So, you know, good rates on credit cards, low interest mortgages, reasonable overdrafts, and they get offered cheaper credit. But with one in four families now having less than £100 in the bank, people on lower incomes with little or no savings find it harder to get affordable credit. So if something like a washing machine breaks down, this can throw them into debt and they have to get credit quite quickly. They may have a poor credit score, which means that the interest that they pay for credit is much higher. We've also got about 4 million people using credit for everyday household costs in a year. So a lot of people are becoming financially excluded and paying a higher price for that. So in terms of what credit unions do, we encourage savings. So every loan has a compulsory savings element. We work with partners like the Illegal Money Lending Team to target low-income people to do savings incentive scheme, so they save some money and some money is put into their savings account. We are one of the pilot credit unions for a government trial of a prize-linked savings fund. People save into the scheme and they have a chance of winning money. And we work with one of our local councils to help people into private rented schemes by saving with us. Another thing that we do is we offer payroll deduction services, so people save and borrow through their pay. The money's taken out at source so they don't notice it so much, so that can help them improve their financial resilience. And a lot of people will not pass the proof of identity and proof of address requirements for other banks. You know, not everyone has a passport or a driving license. So we can offer a debit card facility for people like that so they can have money paid onto it and they can start to budget for things like rent and other bills. We've also helped over 200 people using this debit card facility to get their universal credit paid onto, because universal credit requires that people have a bank account with a sort code and account number in order to actually apply for it. In terms of how we help on loans, all credit union loans interest rates are capped at 42.6 APR. Now, other small accessible loans online can be over 1,000% APR. And we offer small loans that you might just put on a credit card otherwise. But if you haven't got a credit card, you have nowhere to go in terms of affordable credit. We also work with partners to provide interest-free loans for people who really are excluded. So people who have been homeless or have just come to this country who need rent deposits or who need to apply for residency applications. We work with partners, and this helps people, you know, get their home, build their credit score and start to become more economically and socially included.
Thanks, Sam. If you could fast forward 10 years, how do you think credit unions like yours will change?
Right, that's an interesting question. I think if we look at the way things have been going with credit unions, you can see a pattern in that there will be fewer credit unions as credit unions start to merge and they become bigger and more professional. There's a lot of regulation and restrictions on credit unions, which makes it difficult for small volunteer-led credit unions to survive. And I think the regulator wants to deal with fewer, more professionally run credit unions. Currently, we're working on old systems and it's hard to compete with high interest online lenders who can offer loan decisions within minutes when we take days. So I think in 10 years' time, we will have similar platforms and we will be working in the same way as them in terms of being able to be quick with our decisions and our services. I think we might become a little bit more like credit unions in the US. They have big support organisations called CUSOs, where they do research on the benefits of credit union services. They provide funding and they monitor the well-being outcomes of credit union membership. And I think that we will be offering more services. Currently, we offer savings and loans and a debit card facility. But I think some credit unions are already starting to do this by offering mortgages and credit cards and also alternative local currency.
And where can our listeners find out more about E66 Credit Union?
So they can log into our website, which is www.esussexcu.org.uk.
Lovely. All right, thanks for joining us today on Money Bites, Anne.
And that's all we have time for this week's Money Bites. Thanks to Robert Kelly of Abcool and Anne Hickey of the East Sussex Credit Union. Please do remember to review, subscribe, and why not visit us at Smart Money People. Goodbye.